Okay, we're beginning here with the new parak on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Mishnah begins, Dinei Mamonot Bishlosha. Dinei Mamonot requires three. Zeh Bor Lo Echad, Vzeh Bor Lo Echad, Ushnehem Borim Lehem Od Echad, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now the Lashon of Mishnah is somewhat ambiguous. Here in the Lashon of Rabbi Meir, the Gemara is going to ask right away. Rashi says, the Havamina of the Gemara right now, or the if you just read the Mishnah simply, is Zeh Bor Lo Echad means Beit Din Echad. Each one, he picks one Beit Din. Zeh Bor Lo Echad, the other party, the other litigant, chooses another Beit Din. Shnehem Borim Lamech Od Echad. And between them, they're going to also pick a third Beit Din, which means that the Beit Din that they will have their case brought before will be consist of nine individuals. Three that they each pick separately, plus three that they pick together. Other Rashi says the Avamino is Tosfot. Disagrees, and he says that the Gemara is, the way to read the Mishnah is the way the Mishnah, the Gemara concludes. And over here, the Gemara is just not querying about what exactly the words in the Mishnah. They say, how do I fit what we know Rabbi Meir's position is into the Mishnah? Which is that, and we'll see how the Gemara explains it. Based on that, Tosfos says that's the way to read it, and that you'll never get to nine. And that Zerba L'Echad, Zerba L'Echad, Ishtem Borim L'Echad, is mean that they can each pass the Beit Din Chaveiro, and then they'll together choose a Beit Din. But nobody thinks that you can have nine in this Beit Din. Rachamim Amim, Shnei Dayanim Borim Lehem Od Echad, that the two Dayanim that they choose will choose a third Dayan. Right, this is what we're discussing here in this Mishnah is better known as Zavla, which is Zeh Bor Lo Echad, that's the acronym for it. Each one picks a judge, and then between those two judges, they pick a third judge. And not that the parties are necessarily involved in the choosing of the third judge, because it's always going to be hard to get the two parties to agree on anything. So we have a third judge picked by the judges themselves. Zeh posel dayano shel zeh, v'zeh posel dayano shel zeh divrei Rabbi Meir. Rami says that each one can invalidate the dayan of the other party. When's that true? B'zman shemevi'elim raya shein krovim opsulim. That's here he brings evidence to the fact that they're a karov or they're pasul, there's something that invalidates them from being a judge. If they're regular people that have chezkat kashrut, or they're mumchim mipnei beit din, you don't have any right to be posel the judges. You can't willy-nilly just dismiss the judges. And unlike today, some of the modern law, where you get a chance when they're picking the jury, you get a chance, you have to state a reason for invalidating somebody on the jury, but you do get a couple of passes where you can just invalidate them without any reason. That's not the case. You have to bring a good reason why one invalidates somebody from being on this Beit Din. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the same thing that applies to Bat Eidim, it applies to Eidim. That you can go ahead and validate the Eidim of the other party. The party brings Eidim, you can invalidate them. So of course, the Gemara is going to have to ask, what does that mean? Why do you have a right to just eliminate the Eidim over here? When is it true? That's only true. You can only invalidate Eidim when you bring proof that there's something inherently wrong with these Eidim. Not only with their testimony, but they're just not qualified to be in this case. But if they were totally fine, he can't invalidate them just because he doesn't like what they say. He can only invalidate them if they truly are problematic, that they're krovim, that they are relative somehow, psulim, that they're invalid for giving Eidut. So now the Gemara wants to know, this is, according to Rashi, this is query on the first part of Rabbi Meir's statement. What does it mean? And according to Tosfos, it says, we know what it means, we just need to know how to fit it into the language of the Mishnah. My Zeh Borer Lo Echad, V'Zeh Borer Lo Echad. What does it mean in the Mishnah when it says, this one chooses one, and this one chooses one? But Tzalat Tasagi, it's enough with three. Meaning that the way Rashi is learning it, you end up with nine, because he picks one Beit Din, the other one picks another Beit Din, between them pick a Beit Din. Yeah, the Mishnah started, Dinim Mimonon Opishlosha. Then by Dinim Mimonon, you only need three people. Why are you ending up with nine here? It doesn't make any sense. So that's Rashi. According to Tosfos, says, why do you have to have Borlo Achad and Borlo Achad, and then you're only going to end up with three in the end anyway. So why are you picking all these Batei Dinim? So, Hachi Gamar. Because Zeh Borlo Beit Din Achad, Zeh Borlo Beit Din Achad, Shnehem Borim Lehem Od Echad. So the one of them picks a Beit Din, the other one picks a Beit Din, and then together they pick a Beit Din. V'afilo lo v'me'akev, is this really true? That you could do such a thing? Meaning that the Gemara's suggestion at this point is that each one will pick a Beit Din, say, I want to adjudicate the case here. And one party will say, I don't want to go there. The other one will say, I want to adjudicate the case here. He'll say, I don't want to go there. And then they say, all right, let's agree on a place where we'll go together. So now the Gemara says, is that really true that every party has such a right to invalidate the Beit Din of his friend? But we have, is it true that the Lova, the borrower, can say, I don't want to go where the Malve wants me to go? That only time that a person has the right to say, the Malve, for instance, has the right to say, I won't go to that Beit Din, or I want to be in this Beit Din, that's fine. But the Lova doesn't get such a choice. Because Lova, Evet, the Ish Malve, we know in general that the Lova is subject to the whims of the lender. And if the lender requires of him to come to a certain Beit Din, he's got to go. So that's, Gemara says, Kid Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which we're going to see later on in explaining another part of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yochanan says, Berkaochi v'Surya Shanu. Talking about the courts in Syria. The courts in Syria, as Rashi points out, Loe Yubukim B'din Torah. They weren't experts, or they weren't musmachim in the sense that they could adjudicate the law according to the Torah. And therefore, in that instance, even the Loveh, Hachanami, in our case, Erev Kodesh Sirish, I know we're talking about, even in this case, the Loveh has the ability to object, because the courts are not courts al din Torah. So it's not courts al din Torah. Even the Loveh can insist that they go to a place that has a din Torah. Aval mumchim lo. But if they were mumchim, the Loveh would have no right. I mean, that he doesn't have a right to invalidate that of the Malveh. So that's the conclusion or the suggestion of the Gemara at this point, is that when we're talking about judges and invalidating a Batei Din of another person, is that you cannot force one of the parties to come to Beis Din that you want. Right? Each one, you know, can say, I want to do it here, and the other one can say, I do it here, and they say no. But if they choose together, then they both have to come to that Beit Din. Now all this about the ability to say no to the other party is only true when we're talking about Erkeot Shibasuria. We're talking about these Batei Dinim that are not Dan al Din Torah. But a Mumchin, where they're Dan al Din Torah, then the Malve can force the Loveh to go where he pleases, and the Loveh has no right to say no to the Malve. That's the only thing that they don't have. In that instance, they can't do it. So this idea that you're allowed to force someone to go. Now, there are different courts. If you think about, Rashi points out, Lo Shanu, about this idea, Echad Omer Nidon Kan, Verech Omer Nelech the Beit Avad. One says, let's do it locally. The other one says, no, let's go to the central, the big Beis Din, right? The one in the Beit Avad. Kofino Tova Lech the Beit Avad. You have to go to the Beit Avad. You can force the other party to go to the Beit Avad. It's only, again, when you have a right to invalidate your friend's Beit Din. When you're a Lova, you don't have that right, unless it's a Beit Din that's not Al Pi HaTorah, or not, they're not Bekiim, and then you do have such a right to invalidate it. But Rav Papa Amar, Afilu Teimo Mumchim. Even by Mumchim, you can say, let's go to the Beit Avad. Right? Bekion, Beit Din HaDrav Huna, U Drav Chista. Right? If it's like talking about the Beit Din Rav Huna, Rav Chista, it's Kamalei, Mi Kemetarchan Alach. I'm not causing you any problems. In that, you can even, in a regular Beit Din, you can force the issue, meaning that you can't force them to go up to the Beit Avad, when you're talking about a Beis Din that's of such stature. Rashi claims that it's a Beis Din Rav Chista and Rav Huna, which is means that they were together in a single Beis Din. Tosfos does not like that. Tosfos says that they were a Talmud and a Rebbe. That's not. They were at separate Batei Dinim within, you know, they were not within certain distance of each other, but they were outside of three Parsa'ot, so they didn't paskin in front of his Rebbe. But they were nearby. But basically, even in a Beit Din like that, you can force the individual to go to such a Beit Din, because then there's no advantage of necessarily going up to the Beit Avad. Because you already get Rav Chista, Rav Huna, right? If I say, let's go to this Beit Din, the other party says, no, let's go to the Beit Avad. You say, listen, this is Rav Chista and Rav Huna. In that type of Beit Din, we don't need to go to the Beit Avad. So over there, you could say, you don't need to, you can't force him to go up. So again, the Gemara is laying out for us a foundation which suggests that you can invalidate, or you can say, I don't want to go to such and such a Beis Din. I would like to go up to the Beit Avad. Every party has the right to do that, or to say that, except if you're a Loveh. If you're a Loveh, you don't have the right to say that, unless there's a problem with the Beis Din, meaning that it's not a Baki, or not a Din HaTorah. Then you have a right to say this. But Papa also raises the notch a little bit, and says that, well, if it's a Beis Din of Rav Chista and Rav Huna, then you can't insist to go to Beit Avad, because you already have everything you need here, and then you can't force the party to go up to the Beit Avad. So now, Chachamim omrim, shnei dayanim borim lehem od echad, that the other dayanim pick one more. B'isakadatcha kadamrina, and if you think it's like what you said, Beit Din, right, that we're talking about a whole Beis Din, Beit Din batu depaslu azlu varluhu, Once you pass a Beis Din, you can go ahead and they can pick Beis Din Achrina. They're going to pick the other Beis Din. And that you, the way we're suggesting now, according to Rabbi Meir, is you pick one Beis Din, invalidate it. The other party picks a Beis Din, we invalidate it. And then they agree to a third Beis Din. They agree to a compromise Beis Din. But according to Chameim, it's not the two parties that decide on the third Beis Din, but rather the first two choices that decide. Now, if you're going to say Borlo Echad, and Borlo Echad means a Beis Din and a Beis Din, that means that according to Chameim, you're going to invalidate the two Bate Dinim, and those two invalidated Bate Dinim are going to pick the third Beis Din. Chameim says, where do you ever have such a thing? You're going to passel the Beis Din and then say, oh yeah, go ahead. You pick the third Beis Din. That doesn't make any sense. Vote. My Zeh Borlo Echad, Bezeh Borlo Echad. What does it mean? That they pick one. One sounds like one, not a whole Beis Din. This is the way you need to read the Gemara over here. Kishze borlor dayin achad, bze borlor dayin achad, and shnehem borlim lehem od echad. According to Rabbi Meir, each party picks one dayan, not a whole beis din, but one dayan, and then the two parties get together and they pick a third dayan together. So they each get to pick one that without the acquiescence or without the input from the other party. And then the third one they have to do together, they pick. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Well, as Chameim say, that the third Dayan is picked by the two Dayanim that were picked rather than the two parties. So where it says, Maishna Dav De'achi. So why do they do this? So Amri B'Marmava, Mishmei D'Rabbi Zer, Mitoch Shezeh Borlo Dayan Echad, Bezer Borlo Dayan Echad, Ushneim Borlim Od Echad, Yetzei Adin La'amito. In that instance, we are certain or sure that the din will work out, because every party, even the party that loses in this instance, will agree to the outcome of the case. Because they say, listen, if there was something to be seen about me, I picked one of the Dayanim, and I was a party to the other Dayan. So at least two, there's a majority of Dayanim on the Beit Din that know me, and I chose them, so they have, if they want to consider it, they have some bias towards me. And since two parties have bias in me, and nevertheless they passed against me, I have to accept it. This idea that you think there's a certain fairness to the Bate Din, again, according to the Rabbi Meir, it's you have input on two of the Dayanim, one by yourself and one in jointly with the other party. According to Chameim, you are able to pick one Dayan, and then the two Dayanim together can pick the third Dayan. So again, in there, you have one that you picked, plus the other one is independent, so he's not biased. So you say whatever they say is truthful, or there's going to be no problem with the din, because each party is equally represented over here. We don't think there's any favoritism with the Beit Din. So for instance, if Reuven and Shimon have a case, Reuven picks one Dayan, Shimon picks the second Dayan, and Reuven and Shimon together pick the third Dayan. As opposed to the Chachamim who say Reuven picks one Dayan, Shimon picks a Dayan, and then those two Dayanim pick the third Dayan. Alright. Chachamim say, Neima, B'Rav Yehuda Marav Kamiflegei. Let's say that they argue about this memory or this idea of Rav Yehuda Marav. What's that? Amar Yehuda Marav, Ein Aidim Chotmin Al Shtar Lim Ken Yodim Mi Chotim Imahem. That Aidim in general should not sign, or it's good advice not to sign on a document unless you know who is signing with you or alongside of you on the document. Because it may be that people who are not worthy will sign it, or people that are psulim will sign it. It'll be an embarrassment that you're signing a document that has this problem with it. So if you want to ensure that you're signing and that your word, in a sense, or your signature has meaning, know who you are signing alongside of on the document. So let's say that that's the same machlokes they're having here by the Dayanim. Why? Rabbi Meir late to Rav Yehuda Marav. He doesn't have that. Rabbanan Yid late to Rav Yehuda Marav. They have such a thing. So when it comes to Rabbi Meir says that you can pick Reuven and Shimon. Reuven can pick one Dayan. Shimon picks another Dayan. Then Reuven and Shimon pick a Dayan together with them. But that means that the other two Dayanim have no input on who's sitting with them on the Beis Din when they agree. They go, okay, I'll be your Dayan, or I'll be on this Beis Din. But they have no idea who the third Dayan will be when they say that. So that Rabbi Meir says, no problem. You can do that. We don't worry about this idea that you have to know everybody you sit with. Chameim, no. The Chameim say, no. This is just like Edim. Edim shouldn't sign on a document unless they know who's with them. So to over here, the Dayanim shouldn't sit on a Beis Din unless they know who the third Dayan is. How are they going to know who the third Dayan is? They're going to pick, but with them, they too, the Dut Dayanim will pick the third Dayan, not the litigants. So Gemara says, no. The Kuli Amo Itlu the Rav Yehuda Marav. Everybody agrees to this position of Yehuda Marav that you shouldn't sign on a document unless you know who the other parties are. Vidata Dayanin Kulam Lo Pligi Debinan. And we agree, everybody agrees that you need the other judges have to acquiesce to the choice here. Pligi Dat Bali Dinin. Do you need the litigants to agree to who the judges are? Do they have to know who all the judges are? Rameir Sever Dat Bali Dinin Nami Binan. We also need them. And Rabbanan Zavri, dat Dayanim, Binan, dat Bali Dinin, lo Bainan. We need the data of the Dayanim, but we do not need the data Bali Dinin. So that will turn out, that's the difference between them here. Each one, Reuven and Shimon pick a Dayan in both, according to the Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. How the third Dayan is chosen, according to the Rebbe Meir, the litigants are involved in that process. Now, not only can the litigants be part of this process, but the two Dayanim that are already picked, they can veto it also. They can say, I'm not going to sit with this Dayan, I have to approve with the third Dayan. So it's a joint, almost a joint decision between the two existing Dayanim plus the two litigants. On the other hand, according to Chachamim, we don't worry about the Bali Dinim. Once they picked each of them their own Dayan, the third Dayan can be picked by between the Dayanim themselves, because they only sit with someone they want. But on the other hand, the Bali Dinim, they should not be worried about it. It's not their issue anymore. So Kufa, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marab, Ein Ha'idim Chotmim Al Hashtar Lim Kein. They know who the other party is. Tanya Nami Yochiv, a brisa that supports this. Kach Hayu Nikiyeh Adat Shebishalayim Osim, Lo Yehu Chotmim Al Hashtar, Elakim Yodim, Mi Chotim Imehem. That's the way the people of, you know, the, here it's Nikiyeh Adat, those of clean right mind, but these are people who are careful about Dinim, are careful about what they got involved with. Those people were ensured that they knew who they signed alongside of on any document. They would not sit to adjudicate a case or be judges in a case unless they knew who the other judges would be. They wouldn't go to a meal, or they wouldn't go sit down to eat unless they knew who else was going to be with them. Rashi points out that it was being appropriate for Amei Aretz and Talmidei Chachamim to be at the same meal, but the general idea that you should just know if you're going to be involved or you're going to be together with a number of people, and that you should always know who it is that you're going to be a party with. Right, Zeh Posel Dayano Shazeh, Zeh Posel Dayano Shazeh. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion, that you're allowed to invalidate the judges. So Gemara asks the obvious question, Kol Kamineh De Pasel Dayane. Since when can a litigant just say, this Dayan's Pasel? How can he just step up and say, hey, listen, this Dayan's no good? I mean, where do you ever find such a thing? Why does he have such a right? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Be'er Ka'och Shebesuria Shanu. That's what we're talking about here, and that's what we said above. We brought Rabbi Yochanan in the other context. We're talking about the Erkot Shibasuria that are not din al din Torah. These are not expert dayanim. These aren't dayanim that you have to say, oh, wow, you know, no questions asked. There are questions about these, but they didn't in general. So therefore, you could be posted to the dayan and say, this person is not qualified to judge. But when it comes to experts, when it comes to expert dayanim, you don't have a right to posted them. It says, v'hagmitani seifo, and the seifo, the chamim say, what can you do? Chamim say, when can you passel the dayan? When you bring evidence that they're a karov or a pasul. When there's some invalidation that has nothing to do with what they're saying or the case itself. Wait, they say, if they're kasher, one, or mumchim mipei bezdin, eni yochol paslan, then you can't be posel them. There are two categories you said they can't posel. One is kasher, and one is mumcher. But what are you doing? Michal de Rabbi Meir, mumchim nami kamar. It sounds from here that Rabbi Meir says that you can even invalidate a mumchem. Because if you're talking about a case of Erka Ocha Basuria, Erka Ocha Basuria don't have mumchim. They don't have mumchim, that's why you're allowed to invalidate them. That's what we just said before. But if they're a mumchem, we said Rabbi Meir agrees that you can't invalidate a mumchem. But yet the chamim come along and say, wait, Rabbi Meir, you're wrong. Right? You can invalidate a karov pasul, but you're not allowed to invalidate a kasher. And the mumcheh. That means there's two categories. That means Rabbi Meir is arguing on both of those. He's saying you could invalidate a kasher, which is Erkot Shebesuria, and you can invalidate a mumcheh. Now we're back to step one. How does the Rabbi Meir allow you to be invalidate or posel a mumcheh? So Amar says, Achi kamar. Nechamim say that you cannot invalidate aval im hayu kasherim nasu kumumchim mipei beitin. Not that these are two separate categories, but if you are a kasher, you become like a mumche mipi bizdin, ven yochal poslan, you don't have a right to be poseldim. As opposed to Rabbi Meir, who believes that in Erkoch Basuria, if it's a kasher, you can still poseldim because they're not mumchin. The Rechamim say that if you're a kasher, you have the same status as a mumche, and that you can't willy-nilly invalidate such a dayan. So then where it says, Tashma, Amru lo Rabbi Meir, lo kol hamenu shposel dayan, shumumche l'rabim. So what type of right do you have to be posel a mumche l'rabim? Right, so now again, the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, right, how could you go ahead and invalidate such a dayan who's a mumche l'rabim? What does that suggest? That suggests that Rabbi Meir believes you could even invalidate a mumche l'rabim. Right now we're trying to limit Rabbi Meir to saying that you can only invalidate a kosher dayan, but he's not a mumche. Now the Chachamim are saying, how could you, Rabbi Meir, go ahead and invalidate a mumche l'rabim? So that's in the case that he does invalidate such a case. So Gemara says, not that he's a mumchel rabim, but rather humchu rabim means that they chose him. Meaning that these are courts that have, the judges that are chosen, like in Erkoch of Assyria. People that are chosen to be the judges, doesn't make them mumchim, just that the tzibur agrees that these people were going to adjudicate cases. This will be the court for this area. So if the people accept these individuals upon him and their ksherim, come say, Rabbi Meir, what right do you have to come and invalidate them? Rabbi says, they're not mumchim. If they're not mumchim, you can invalidate them. So again, we're taking away from Rabbi Meir saying that anybody or any litigant can come and willy-nilly invalidate a mumchim. So Tanya Rami Yochi, a brace that supports this understanding. The olam posel v'olech achi kavalav beitin shemumche the rabim divrei Rabbi Meir. So you see from here, the Rabbi Meir believes that you can go ahead and validate judges until you've accepted a beis din that consists of mumchim. So you see, Rabbi Meir says once they're mumchim, you cannot or no longer can invalidate them. V'haidim. So that's the problem. Now the Gemara says, okay, solve the judges' problem. What about the next part of the Mishnah, which is edim? V'haidim. Right, the case of Edim is Kumumchim Dami. Edim had the same status as Mumchim, because Edim will come to Beis Din, you have no right to invalidate them. They have a classification like a Mumchim and Beis Din. V'amar Rabbi Meir, Zeh Posel Edam Shel Zeh, V'zeh Posel Edam Shel Zeh. And you said that Rabbi Meir says you can invalidate the Edim. So if you say Rabbi Meir thinks you can't invalidate Mumchim, then why can you go ahead and validate Edim? Hayit Marla, so that we already have something on this to clarify that. Amar Shlokish Pek Hodesh. Or pekadosh umar daverze? How could it be? Rabbi Meir would never say such a thing that you can invalidate a team. So what are you going to do? So how do you solve that problem? Tni edo. So now, instead of edav, which is the plural, edim shelo. Right? According to this, Rabbi Meir says that you can invalidate. According to the way our Mishnah, the Lashon, our Mishnah says, he says like you can invalidate kat edim, a set of edim. You can invalidate. As long as there's also says Rabbi Meir would never say such a thing. What did he say? He said you can invalidate a single aid, edo, aid shalom, in the singular. So when it says edo lamai, what is a single aid doing there anyway? He doesn't do anything. If you say that it's a single aid, come to testify about monetary matters, rachmana pasle, edut only happens with two. You can't do anything in a testimony when it involves one aid. Ilu shvua, if it's reshvua, himunim hemen ke betre. Right? If it's a case where it's a shvua, the Torah says he's like two. He's trusted, and you have to take a shvua when you have an eid echad. So how can where does the party or the litigant have anything to do with this eid echad? Eid echad either is pasul min haTorah or he's valid min haTorah. Either way, the party has no say in what this eid is doing. So when it says olam l'mamon, we're talking about a monetary case. L'tzricha dekabli alei kebei trei, that the litigant accepted this party kebei trei as if he was a full set of eidim. So again, min haTorah, this aid is invalid, and this aid cannot testify in the case to make a difference. But the parties came to an agreement. The litigants came to an agreement that they would view this aid like two aidim.
Both sides?
Well, it has to be both sides, otherwise that wouldn't work. Right? I mean, one party obviously wants the aid to be here. The other party who doesn't want, if he doesn't accept it, then it won't work, because he's invalid min haTorah. So it obviously has to be both parties that are accepting it. So he accepts the kebei trei. So Mar says, Maika Mashvelan, so what does that teach us? That's not final. Just because you say this aid I'll accept like two aidim, that's not final. Now there will be a point where you cannot reverse it, but that means you can change your mind. You are able to change your mind about this. It's not once you say yes, okay, I'll be kebei trei, that doesn't mean that you can no longer reverse your position, no longer back out of it. Mar says, Tanina, we already have that in a Mishnah. Amru alo, we had this in Baba Batra, Neman alai abo, Neman alai tavicha. That you, I trust your father, or I trust your, right, other parties, right, avich, that I trust your father. I mean, I trust either my father, your father, somebody who's invalid otherwise to be a dayan. And I say, no, it's fine, you can be here. These three shepherds will be the judges, and I say, fine, and accept it. So, Rameir says, your acceptance is not final, and you can back out of it. The Chachamim say, once you've accepted those parties, you can't back out of it. So that's how we'll explain we're going to explain our Mishnah. What does it mean? It's ni edo. The case of edo here is, right, one aid. Rabbi Meir comes along and says, if you accept one aid to be like two edim, you can back out of it. Chachamim say, you can't back out of it. So now we have one Mishnah telling us that's by a dayan, and another Mishnah over here telling us by a edim. Why do you need me in this Mishnah to tell me about edim? If it works by dayanim, Certainly it's going to work by Edim. There's no reason to believe that it should be different. That accepted on with him with one. So what does that mean with one? So Rashi says up the top, that he accepted him as a single dayan. And there are two kosher dayanim with him. Came into pasumi deraisa. Nevertheless, he can walk out because that one is invalid mina Torah. Achanami came into chad mamon lo mitkasher matzar other bay. So it's over here by the one single aid since mina deraisa he's not valid. He should be able to back out of it. So if that's the case, then what's the chiddush in our Mishnah? Why is our Mishnah talking about a case of one aid when we have a case of one dayan later on, which is also you're able to back out of the case? Tricha. Both of these cases are necessary. Why? If we talk about the case of your father, my father, right? Over there, the Rabbanan say you can't reverse it. Mishum da'alma. In general, they are good dayanim. It's just in this case, they're invalid because of the relationship to the parties. So, aval chad kebeit rei de'la'alma lo chazi. But when it comes to a single aid who is never good, no matter what the case is, a single aid can never make a difference in a monetary case. So then you would say, Ma, Ema Moda de Rabbi Meir, maybe they agreed to Rabbi Meir. So we would think by the case the Chachamim disagree or say that you cannot back out of a case is a case by Dayanim. Dayanim that are otherwise Kshirim, just because of this case they're posel. If you accept it, then it's good and you can't back out of it. But in case of Edim where they're not valid anytime or anywhere, maybe they'll agree to Rabbi Meir's position that you can reverse the case, back out of the agreement that you gave to accept this individual. If you only talk in the case of Edim, Baha Kama Rabbi Meir. In this case, Rabbi Meir says you can back out. Why? Because an aid is not valid anywhere. The case of judges, he would agree to Rabbanan, Sricha. So therefore, we need both our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on about accepting Ro'e Bakar. So both judges and witnesses, we have to separate between the two cases. And so both of them are necessary. One, to teach us the position of the Chamin, Rabbi Meir, in each case. In the case of Dayanim, to teach us that Rabbi Meir still thinks, in that case you can back out of it, even though there are Kasherim in other places. And by Edim, to teach the Chamim still believe you cannot back out of it, even though an Eid is not Kasher anywhere else. Okay, now the Gemara says, okay, now we found an answer. But now the Gemara challenges this answer that we're talking about an Eid Echad. It says, HaMiktani Reisha Dayano. And the Reisha, when it says Dayano, means his judge you're allowed to invalidate. B'seifa Idav. And the Seifa says Idav in plural. You're trying to, the ratio of the Mishnah talks in the singular, Dayano is Dayan Shelo, and the Sefer of the Mishnah talks about Edav, which is Edim Shelo. Now, if you think, now we just came and amended the Mishnah to read Edo. Now, come on. If the Mishnah made the mistake and said Dayanav and Edav, and you say you want to change it to singular, you could say there's a mistake. They both are written in the plural. Now you want to change it to singular, fine. But if they both start out as being, but they're different, the ratio is plural, singular, and the seifa is plural, how can you come along and say, oh no, they're both really singular? That doesn't make sense. It looks like it was intentionally done that way. If it's intentionally done that way, you can't explain it this way. So now, the Gemara says, no, Alma, Dafku, Ketani, they're written explicitly, and you can't say it's a single aid. Ella, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Bebahu, Be'acher, Lepuslam. He and another aid come along to be posel, the aidim here. One of the litigants and another party, a third aid, comes along and says, these aidim are pasul. It says, kokamine. So what? What does that make a difference? Just because there's another aid with him, why does that help you? No gabe du tohu. He's no gabe dover. He's a litigant in this case. And he comes out, he's going to testify with another party that the aidim that are coming to testify against him are psulim. That's no gabe du tohu. How could you allow such a thing? So, mravacha, breidravika, gagon shakar lav ir er. There's some questions that are arisen here. What are the questions? Irer demai. What questions? Elim irer de gazlanuta. If the questions about the validity of these edim because they're thieves, kol kaminei no gebu to go. Again, he's still no gebu eduto. If he's testifying about them that they're gazlanim, he still affects the kashrut edim. Kashrut edim can affect this case. Ela irer de bekam mishpacha. The ear over here is not about their validity as Edim, but rather their validity in general. Not about testimony, but their ability to testify, period. There's a question about whether they are avadim, or whether they are those that are not kasher, to testify. Rabbi Meir Sabar Hani Amishpacha Kamasade, Be'ilu Mamelaka Pasil. This individual, this party in the case, plus the other eight that come along and testify about these Edim, they're testifying about their family. once we testify to their family, find out through Avadim, they can't testify in the case. That's a side. That's a sidebar. That's what happened. That's a pol yotze. That's a derivative of the fact that they're psulim because of the big shpacha. Rabbanan sabre sof sof nukia beitutohu. In the end, even though they're testifying about family issues, in the end, what's the outcome of them testifying about family issues? They're not going to be able to testify in your case. And that makes you a nogea beiduto. Kiyat rabdimi yama rabbi yochanan. No, that's not the explanation here. Machloket b'shtei kitei edim. The machloket here is about two sets of witnesses that show up. The Rabbi Meir, now this is the girsa we have. This is the girsa. Rashi explains this girsa in the first lashon, and Tosfos says he thinks that girsa is correct. Whereas Rashi gives a second girsa, which actually reverses the positions of Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan over here. I'll read it the way we have the girsa in our Gemara, and then we'll go back and just explain it quickly according to Rashi's other girsa. So Rashi says, Rabbi Meir savar tzarech levarer, Rabbanan savi ain't tzarech levarer. So we had this back in Baba Batra. We're going to quote that Gemara from Baba Batra in a second. But basically, if someone says, I am going to show up in court and I'm bringing such and such evidence. He says, I'm going to bring such and such evidence, do the dayanim, hold him to his word. For instance, he says, I'm going to bring two sets of edim to the case. Do we say that the case cannot proceed until he brings his two sets of edim? Or if he brings one set of edim, it's fine. So that's what the Gemara says here. Rabbi Meir says he has to bring Tzarech Levarer. You say you want to bring two sets of Edim, you've got to show up in two sets of Edim. Rabbanan Savri, ain't Tzarech Levarer. You do not have to uphold your word. By one kat, you cannot be posel. So this, what's the case here? The case is he says, I'm going to bring two sets of Edim. So you go ahead, and he brings one set of Edim, and then the litigant, along with another aid, comes along and says, posel this set of edim. So now what Rabbi Meir says, you know what? It doesn't really matter. You know why it doesn't matter? You said you were going to bring two sets of edim. If you're going to bring two sets of edim, fine, I posel the first one, but you still have a second set. I'm not ruining the case. I'm not changing the case yet. The fact that I invalidated this cut doesn't mean that you don't, the second set will take care of the case, and they'll testify about the case. So therefore we say that he's not nogea beiduto because he has to bring. Now why does he, what happens if he doesn't find the other set of edim? I said that doesn't work. Why? Because Rabbi Meir believes tzarech levarer. If you said you're going to bring two sets of edim, you got to show up with the two sets of edim. If you don't show up with the two sets of edim, the case won't proceed anyway. So since there have to be two sets of edim here, when you posel the first set of edim, the second set will still continue the case. So therefore you're not nogea beiduto. The Chachamim say, ain't tzarech levarer. If you say I'm going to bring two sets of edim, and you only bring one, that does not invalidate the case, that doesn't stop the case. The case will proceed. Therefore, if you and another aide come and posel the edim, you're no gea beiduto, because you're stopping the case. You're making these edim psulim, and he doesn't have to show up with a second set of edim. So that's the way the machlokes explains according to the girsa that we have. But if there's only one set of edim, even Rabbi Meir will agree that you can't do it. Why? Because one set of edim, if you're posel one set of edim, then there's nothing to talk about. You've ruined the case. That means you're no gea beiduto. So even Rabbi Meir agrees with that. If you only have one set of edim and you're going to bring them and you're posel them, the other party's posel them, that is no gea beiduto. So now, Amru lufanav, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Ein sham elakat achat mahu. Right? So if there's only one kat there, what's the din? Right? Says, what do you mean? Ein sham elakat achat. Right? What do you mean? If there's only one kat there, v'amarta, we just said explicitly, there's only one kat, you can't be posela. Ella nimtzed kat shnia krovim obsulim mahu. It's a great question. According to Rabbi Meir, if the second set of edim are found also to be psulim or krovim, what's the din? So amalehen kvar yidu rishonim. The first one's already testified. So what does that mean? So here we have to understand. Here, the case is, Rabbi Meir says, Tarech Levarer. According to Rabbi Meir, if you promise to bring two sets of Edim, you have to show up those two sets of Edim. So according to that, we said, if you, one of the litigants and another aide come and posel the first set of Edim, it's not a problem. It doesn't invalidate the case. Why? Because there's another set of Edim coming anyway, and they're going to conclude the case. The second set of Edim, you promised two sets of Edim, you got to show up with them. If you don't show up with them, the case won't proceed anyway. So the fact that we invalidated these Edim is no problem. What happens if he brings the second set, and then they're invalidated? Oh, if the second set of Edim are invalidated, then when you invalidate the first set of Edim, what does that mean? You change the case, and you're no gea beiduto. The mafreya, it turns out, right, retroactively, it turns out that you changed the course of the case by invalidating this first set of Edim, because the second set of Edim also turned out to be invalid. So now do you become no gea beiduto? So that the Gemara says, Kvar heidu rishonim, that the rishonim already testified. What does that mean, that they already testified? Well, the case is done. When we accepted the litigant and the other aid to post-sell the first set of aidim, that's done before the second aidim show up. So at the time they did it, they were not nogea beidutan. Only later on, when the other set shows up, does it become nogea beidutan. We don't say that retroactively. Rashi has a second lashon here. Second lashon is that kvar yidu rishonim means that they're believed. The first set of edim came and testified or believed about their edut because they already testified. Rashi likes lashon rishon in explaining kvar yidu rishonim. That's the explanation going to Rashi, lishna rishona and Rashi. There's a lishna shnei and Rashi says that he wants to switch around the lishonot and say that the Gemara reads, actually, Rabbi Meir Savar ain't tzarich levarer, and the Rabbanan Savre tzarich levarer. The Chachamim say you have to be mevarer. And the Rabbi Meir says, ain't tzarich levarer, you don't have to be mevarer. So according to the second lashon in Rashi, Rashi says that the positions of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are reversed, and Rabbi Meir says, ain't tzarich levarer. Now the varer over here is not like we said before, that you have to uphold your word and show up with eidim. If you say, I'll bring two sets of eidim, I'll bring them, no problem. Even if they're psulim, as long as I show up with the two sets of eidim, as long as I show up, it's fine. Now, the way Rashi wants to read in the second lashon, what bothers him about the first lashon is when he's tzarich levarer, should be, you have to bring two sets of kasher eidim. That's what you have to bring. So therefore, Rabbi Meir suggests over here, ain't tzarich levarer. Ain't tzarich levarer doesn't mean that you don't have to show up with your two sets of eidim. You have to show up with two sets of eidim. They just don't have to be kasher eidim. And therefore, if one of the litigants and an aide testifies that one of the sets of eidim is pasul, that doesn't change the course of the case. Because I still brought my two sets of eidim. One of them is kasher, one of them is pasul, that's fine. You did what you had to do. Well, according to Chamim, Tzarich Levarer, according to Chamim, you have to check it out. The both sets of Eidim have to be Ksherim. Therefore, if you come along, and along with another aid, one of the litigants with another aid comes and testifies that this set of Eidim is Pasol, you're no Geya Beiduto. Why? Because then the case won't proceed. He said I had to bring two sets of Ksherim, and now you're invalidating one set of Eidim, now the case can't proceed. So that's why the Chamim say no. You're no Geya Beiduto. You can't testify about this set of Eidim. Then the Gemara queries, according to Rabbi Meir, what happens if the second set of Eidim is found to be Psulim? The second set of Eidim is found to be Psulim, then what? Do we say, Lemafreya, you're considered to be Nogeh Beiduto, because now the case can't proceed at all? Or do we say, right, the Kachniyah wasn't here when we were posted the first one, therefore there's no invalidation. So that's the second Lashon of Rashi. Again, Tosfos disagrees and says he does not like the second Lashon of Rashi, and Rashi already brought the first Lashon of Rashi. So, even though he favors the second Lashon of Rashi, therefore I think the Gemara is stuck. Generally, we changed the Girsa. Many of the Girsaot were redacted to follow Rashi's position over here. Even though Rashi favors the second position, the first one is left because Rashi explains the Gemara going to the first one. Plus, Tosos likes that Girsa better. All right, just to finish up over here. Neima Bapukta. Sorry, Igadamre, let us say, Amar Avashi, Kvar Yidu Eidim Rishonim. The fact that we say that the Eidim Rishonim already testified, which Rashi suggested the lashon that he liked better, was that the first Eidim, when they were posel them, they wasn't available. And therefore, when the Eidim came to posel them, we accepted the Eidut without knowledge about the second Eidim, and therefore it stands, whatever they said stands. So I'd say this, the Tanya, well, but this should be similar to another machlokas we have. Amar Rav Ashi, Kvar Yidu Eidim Rishonim, name of Pukta the Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Kamiflege. They argue in the position of Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Tanya, we have a brisa, this we had in just recently in the end of Baba Vatra. Abali don b'shtar b'chazaka. Someone comes along and says, listen, this land is mine because I have a shtar that says I bought it from you, and I've been here for 3 years. I've made a chazaka. So Nidon Bishtar Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says, guess what? You gotta show up with the shtar. If you make a claim you got a shtar, you gotta show up with the shtar. Why? Because Shnei Chazaka, the being there for 3 years is only to replace the shtar when you don't have a shtar. But if you have a shtar, we're gonna tell you show up with the shtar. And now that you promised or you suggested you have a shtar, you gotta show up with that shtar. Shemgomar Nidon Bechazaka. Now we go after the Shnei Chazaka. Gemara says, Vavina Ba Bechazaka Velo Bishtar. Why would you ever tell him bring the Eidei Chazaka, not the shtar? It doesn't make sense. Eidei Chazaka only to support the shtar. Leima Af Bechazaka. That you have to also buy chazaka, meaning that Rabbi Shimon says you can bring whatever you want, whatever evidence you want to bring, you can bring a shtar or either chazaka, either one's good. This is exactly what they're arguing about. When you make a statement, do you have to uphold your statement? Right. So that, based on that, you'll say the machlokas of tzarich levarer before between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is going to be similar to the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the right, brisa that was brought in Baba Basra. That both of them are arguing about tzarich levarer. When you say something, do you have to uphold your word? For the case to continue, do you have to actually verify or validate what you said? Do what you promised to do. So Rabbi Meir, depending on which Girsin Rashi, if you think Rabbi Meir says Tzarich Lebarer, he's going to hold like Rabbi, which says Tzarich Lebarer. If you hold, right, then the Rabban who say Ein Tzarich Lebarer, they're going to hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Again, in Rashi's second Girsin, we reverse them, the reverse will be true. Meir says, that doesn't have to be the case. Ali, but the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kulei Ame Lo Plige. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, everybody agrees that you don't have to be Mevarer. Ki Plige, Ali, but the Rabbi, where they argue according to Rabbi. Why does the Gemara want to establish both of them according to Rabbi? Because we have a principle, when it's Rabbi, Alocha Mechaveiro. When it's Rabbi versus one, an individual, the Alocha is always like Rabbi. So over here, the Alocha is going to be like Rabbi. If the Alocha is going to be like Rabbi, then we'd rather set up, we'd like to set up the Chamim and Rabbi Meir in the position of Rabbi Meir, in Rabbi. So how do we do this? And so we explain the Machlokes is the Rabbi Meir Kerabbi severely. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi, which means Rabbi Meir who said Tzarich Lebarer is like Rabbi here who said Tzarich Lebarer. Rabbanan Amecha Adkan Lo Kamar Rabbi Hatam. The case by the Brayson Bava Basua. Why does Rabbi say there Tzarich Lebarer like a Chazaka to be called Shtar Kati? Because over there a Chazaka is a derivative of the Shtar. It comes to replace the Shtar. So if you say I can bring the Shtar and then you say you know what, I'll just bring the Eidei Chazaka, we say wait a minute, the Shtar is what we're after here. So if you have a Shtar, you better bring the Shtar. And that's what Rabbi says. But over here, in our case, that's not true. In our case, where he says, I'm going to bring two sets of Edim, one set of Edim has nothing to do with the other set of Edim. And therefore, even Rabbi would agree, you don't have to bring both sets of Edim for the case to continue. You said, I'll bring two sets of Edim. If you can only find one, that's fine. You brought one set of Edim and we're done. Because, in that case, we're not going to say, bring the other set. Because each set is independent. And if one set comes and testifies, that's good enough for us. In the case of Shtar and Chazakah, when you say, I have a Shtar and I have a Chazakah, we're going to say, bring the Shtar. Because Chazakah is only a derivative of Shtar. If it's a derivative of Shtar, we're going to say to you, bring the Shtar. Chazakah is meaningless in the face of a Shtar. So show up with the Shtar. Lishna Bachar actually says, well, the other Bachar, I switched Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, how am I going to fit them into this, right? So you say, you have to say like this, Afimo, Temo, Ardarvayu, Oliba, Darabi, Plige, they both are going to Rabbi, Rabbi Meir, Malacha, Ana Amar, Afilu, Karabi. I can even hold like Rabbi. In that, it's Rabbi Meir, rather than the Chachamim, are the ones who are trying to reconcile the Rabbi. You can say, I can hold like Rabbi, because in the case over there, Rabbi says, Sarech Lebarer. Over here, in our case, who agree, ain't Sarech Lebarer? Because by Edim, they're independent parties, and therefore you won't have to be, you won't have to explain it. So again, the two lishnot of Rashi, and we're trying to reconcile their machlokas with Rabbi's position in Baba Batra, who says Tzarech Levarer, because over there, Rabbi, the loch is like Rabbi, me, Chabeiro, it'll be over Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and therefore we try to set up the machlokas, no matter which lashon in Rashi that you use, we try to set up the machlokas in Rabbi, so each party can explain their position based on Rabbi. Okay, we'll stop over here.